Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Founders Podcast. Today, I am sitting with Ryan Stoll, who is actually very involved with small businesses, son of Professor Mike Stoll. Just met him recently, but also through conversation realized that we probably met before. We've crossed paths for sure. Ryan, please. Yeah. Introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are as a person, where'd you grow up, you know, and what got you started being an entrepreneur.
Okay, so my name is Ryan Stoll. I'm a digital marketing consultant. I also do website design and development consulting and some building on my own. Started my own business doing that. I grew up in the Inland Empire. My first informative years were in downtown San Bernardino. Me and my dad both, we lived right next to like St. Bernardine's down there. So it was fun. Nice. And we moved all over the place inside the Inland Empire. We moved to Redlands and then to Yucaipa. So my roots are very strongly in this region.
So you got a good familiarity with all the different areas of this, of the Inland Empire, huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I often try to brag to people that I could drive blindfolded throughout the Inland Empire and have no issue at all.
It's freaking awesome.
So yeah, you know, and since I've been here for most of my life, I mean, you know, I spent a little bit of time when I was in the Army. I did stints at like Fort Sill, Oklahoma, Fort Benning, Georgia, Schofield Barracks in Hawaii, a little bit at Fort Polk and Fort Irwin out here in the desert. So yeah, but I always tended to come back. And it's probably because I'm familiar with the area and I also really like it. I think it has a lot of spirit.
Yeah, I mean, in comparison to like LA, it's not as crowded. The rent is a little bit more affordable out here as well too. San Bernardino County was just rated the most affordable place to live out of all Southern California, the most affordable county.
Yeah, that's probably because it lives next to one of the most expensive ones.
right.
But yeah, I mean, and then you kind of like think about how it's grown. I remember when Fontana was nothing but like a dust bowl. And now it's got everything. I mean, there's a Cracker Barrel in Fontana. How great is that?
It's really nice. Fontana is a really nice city. Close to Rancho. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you kind of see that growth and you're like, okay, you know, I think I can help contribute to this. And that's where I got started with the entrepreneurship and the small business stuff. And then when I started getting involved with the SBDC, which sort of started as just a job, you know, I needed money. And it was down my alley working for Tri-Tech SBDC for the great Mark Mitchell.
And for people who don't know who Tri-Tech is, could you tell them what it was and where even the offices were located? Because that was part of my introduction to the Inland Empire.
Right. So the offices were in downtown Corona, right in the middle of the circle.
Corona.
And it was a tech SBDC, and we focused on investment, so on equity investment. So we did a lot of coaching for people who were looking for, you know, capital injection. We didn't do any kind of debt. It was all equity. So we worked closely with a lot of angel investors. Like if you're familiar with the Tech Coast Angels.
Yep.
We did a lot of work with them. A lot of our consultants are actually involved in the Tech Coast Angels. So
yes,
we had consultants who had direct investing experience coaching our small businesses in how to, you know, do pitch decks and elevator pitches and fast pitches and things like that. And it was an invaluable resource for those businesses that were really starting to scale and grow. And we're looking to give up some equity.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. Does the OCI SBDC still deal with like investors on that level, like Tritech was? Because to this day, I still talk to Mark Mitchell. He's kind of a mentor to me. And Mike Long, the tech coast angel, I spoke with him recently. He plans to be on the podcast. And the way, you know, equity investing goes and, you know, venture capital, like we don't see a lot of that action happening here in the region. But do you know, from your perspective of being at the SBDC, i.e. if there's plans on doing stuff like that?
There is a little bit. It's sort of, Tritech was sort of pulled apart and rebuilt. But that sort of equity investing sort of, you know, you might call it like Silicon Valley or something like that. That's sort of starting to pierce into the Inland Empire. Right now, the current iteration would be the closest one would be at UCR. And they sort of do that thing where they're looking for helping to people that are looking to invest.
Venture funding, basically, right? Funding.
There are some venture capital stuff going on, especially through UCR and a couple of other of the centers that the OCIE has. Some of it is focused on straight equity investments, so like angel investors and stuff like that who give up. Like Shark Tank light.
I've got a big surprise for all of our podcast listeners. I've already recorded it, but coming soon, major angel investor was on the Founders Podcast, and I'll be releasing that in the future soon. But that's good to hear, you know.
Spoiler alert. Wait, who is it though? Tell me.
Can't tell the name. No. It's just some people know. A few friends. I've got a big mouth. I can tell you off air though.
Well, don't spoil it for me. I'm an avid listener. Right?
Okay. Cool. won't spoil it then.
So it happens at UCR, and then you have all the stuff that's going on with the Inland Empire Small Business Development Center and the Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship, where, like, oh man, the entrepreneurship program out there is so good, and I hate to, it feels like I'm tooting my own horn, like, I don't know, genetics. But I mean, what they've done there, and it's a team effort. With all, like, you know, like the Garner Holt fast pitch competition and all the new program. I don't remember what it's called, but they have one for medium sized businesses.
You talking about the one your dad just launched? The Catapult business kind of mentorship thing, I think. Right. Yeah, that looks amazing. I actually. You know, I've thought about maybe joining.
I thought about it too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wouldn't qualify. My dad's not the type to.
Right.
Well, I mean, because the goal is for businesses that are sort of in the same, having the same sort of issues with their growth, work together as like a peer group.
Okay.
So I would do nothing but listen, right? I wouldn't have input for that. So, better off that they have people that they can actually rely on. It seems like an excellent program, and for someone like me who is constantly wanting to learn and to, you know, grow and evolve myself and my knowledge, it seemed like a great opportunity. So I'm hoping they do something for the smaller side.
That would be great. Now you mentioned something about how criminally undermarketed the service of OCIE Small Business Development Center are. Like, tell us a little bit about what those services are, how you're involved with it. Actually go into a little bit of how you started your marketing firm as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, to talk a little bit about the criminally undermarketed Small Business Development Center, and that sounds like, and I know I said it like that, and it's really negative, but the reason why is because, I mean, we take all the money we get through all of our different partnerships, and we turn that right back into programs and consulting. So we're using the lion's share of the funding to help small business owners and entrepreneurs. Occasionally, there's a large push from the top in the SBA to do some marketing. not very recently, but a few years ago, there was one of the, in the Undercover Billionaire TV series.
Yes, I love that show.
Yeah, so one of them went to the local SBDC.
And that's right. Oh yeah, it was a lady. Forgot her name. Curly hair.
Yeah. It was. And then there was two more.
There were two more. Okay.
And then they all went to the SBDC. So I was at the SBDC at the time, the Inland Empire one.
Wow.
And I had a bunch of clients coming in, and they were saying, "Oh yeah," and I'm like, "Where did you hear about the SBDC?"
So seriously.
And they were like, "Oh yeah, I saw it on this TV show."
Wow. And,
yeah, so we actually got a lot of traction from that.
And That's great.
So I think so the marketing programs for the SBDC are really good. The marketing people in our lead center do really well. It's okay. Just, we are just like any other nonprofit where we struggle with funding and putting that money in the right places. Like we can't run thousands of dollars of Google ads every month, We have to make sure that our money gets put into the right pockets. Into the right resources so that we can actually help people and not help ourselves.
Get it, yeah.
And so that's why I started on my own mission, sort of selfishly, to maybe get some clients on my own, but
No, that's understandable.
But to also kind of, advertise our services directly to the people that need it.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many times I've heard from small business owners that say, "I wish I had known that you existed years ago when I started. I could have avoided so many mistakes." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's why I'm trying to get the word out."
The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As we build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you.
So
what are some of the services that you guys do with SBDC? How do those tie into what you also do as a professional with your marketing company?
Okay, so the marketing consulting that I do is very tied into the consulting I do. And that's mostly because you can't be a consultant for the Small Business Development Center unless you have entrepreneurship experience. So you will not talk to a consultant at an SBDC that doesn't have their own small business experience running their own business. And I think that that's great because it helps us say, okay, I've been where you are now.
Yep.
I understand the issues you are facing, and I'm here to help you overcome those issues.
Yeah.
And then on my own side, my own company, we do mostly, the big chunk of it is kind of just like you with the website development design. Except I'm not just WordPress. I'll do basically
any type, right?
Yeah, it's very rare that someone needs custom coding. That's very rare. But I have done that.
And we don't only do WordPress, we just specialize in it, but we're web developers at heart,
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, WordPress is the best platform. So
37% of the web runs on it. Yes. So,
like, yep. Yeah. Huge market share. Yeah. Just like a complete giant. So yeah. And so that connects by saying, okay, so this is what I do to actually make money for myself.
Yes.
This is my job and this is my business. Yeah. So I can take all of that knowledge that I've accrued trying to help myself mm-hmm. and help other people overcome the same challenges that I've overcome. You know, like trying yeah. to scale things or meeting some advertising or doing, you know, some complicated stuff like AdWords.
Yes. Yeah.
SEO optimized content. Or, you know, how do you design a landing page?
Simple. Yeah. So there's a lot of technical things you help them get into. And I mean, it's like any client, you know, coming into it, usually they'll have a little bit of like knowledge. And then some people don't have the knowledge. They don't have any knowledge and they're just, you know, ready to be completely trained. So you guys offer training services as well. You said that you guys do types of trainings. What kind of trainings are you offering normally through SBDC?
So again to lean on the no cost factor first.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So our trainings and consultings are completely no cost. Nice. When we talk about trainings, like let's say webinars, because you know after the pandemic everything was online.
Online. Yep.
We used to do a lot of in person stuff, but now it's all online. We have a bunch of different programs that kind of are like completely all over the place. We cover everything.
Wow.
The only stuff, disclaimer, is that we won't do a lot of law stuff and tax stuff because.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's, you know, you don't like want to give someone like tax advice and then they get audited and get thrown in jail and you're on the hook for that, you know?
What about like bringing in guest speakers? So
yeah. Like... So, yeah, that is okay, and we do that occasionally.
Okay. So you can bring in a lawyer.
Yeah, okay. and but they just can't give like legal advice, specific legal advice.
Okay.
And that's the whole, you know, the disclaimer: I am not a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, from what I heard, and I've had a couple of lawyers here on the podcast, it's so like such a sticky thing to promote or to say certain things with especially being a lawyer. Yeah, California is strict about it. Yeah,
I have a list of local small law firms that I send people to if they need.
Okay.
Or I suggest that they have a small conversation with these people.
Okay.
If they're facing a certain thing, like a lot of times it's like copyright stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That just really require a cease and desist or something like that.
Okay.
And then we cover. Like everything, but the lawyer and tax stuff we try to send to Score.
So
and those people are they work more on like a mentorship level. It's a little different, so
okay.
They can go a little deeper into like tax preparation and things like that.
Just for our audience, can you define what Score is as well?
Score is just a mentorship program of people that were previously in a C-suite position. So
okay.
They are former owners, they are former CFOs and CMOs, and they help small business owners in their journey through mentorship. So
we got to get some people from Score on this podcast as well.
Yeah, Score is a really good program, and it's really good because instead of it being sort of like a, I don't know how you would call it, like a transactional sort of thing where mm-hmm. I get X amount of help out of this relationship. It's more that they'll help you with whatever you require.
Yes.
And sort of be an ear to listen to your issues and maybe give you a way to get out of whatever problem you have. Whereas myself as a small business development center consultant, mm-hmm. I'm more focused on action. And action, okay. Like how can we create jobs? How can we retain jobs? How do we start your business? How do we keep your business going? How do we get you some, you know, capital injection?
Okay.
And you know, basically, how do we serve the region economically? So
And
they're all kind of like these little bits and pieces, but the programs. So
yeah,
we have several that are focused directly on starting a business. So
okay.
The big one is called SBDC Start.
SBDC Start, okay? We've written an article about that. Tell us some details.
Okay, so SBDC Start basically covers everything you need to know as a small business owner when you're starting your business. It's a six-week program. It's extremely detailed. And it's, you know, it covers things like licensing, how to get a business license, do you need a sales permit, all the way through like how to start budgeting, how to do specific tax forms, tax, you know, stuff, like how do you prepare to pay your taxes. And then it's about general marketing, like how do we actually start marketing our company now that it exists. It has also a digital side to it. So do you build a website? Do you create social media channels? How do you market on social media? How do you market on email content? And then we talk in general about how do you actually maintain your business. So if it's a retail business, is there, are you going to have supply issues? What's your supply chain? How much inventory do you keep on hand at one time? What's your inventory? What are your inventory channels? And so it covers like this whole thing. It's sort of like drinking through a fire hose. So you're getting blasted with a lot of information.
A lot of information.
Yeah, but you know, it's really like a boot camp for people that are trying to start their own businesses.
How long does that last again?
6 week program.
Six weeks.
And each webinar is 2 hours long.
Okay, so one webinar per week?
Yes.
Okay, one 2-hour webinar per week for 6 weeks. That's huge.
Yeah. And a lot of our programs kind of follow that same trend. They're usually like the actual network programs are usually in the range of 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay.
We also have Eats, which is like a food incubator program.
Okay.
And it's really, really focused down on food industry entrepreneurship.
Nice.
And we do education and training based on actually building out a restaurant.
Wow. So,
and it sort of does the same sort of inventory and supply sort of stuff. And then the specific licensing that you might require for a business or for a restaurant.
Okay.
And it also has the MECOs, so the home kitchens.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of the Eats program is focused on really early stage. So,
okay.
And that includes actually finding a place for your restaurant, getting a good deal on the lease, you know, not getting screwed over on the lease.
Yeah.
And is this a good area to put a restaurant? How's the foot traffic? How's the car traffic? Are you going to have good customer flow? Does the space work for both a kitchen and a sit down restaurant?
Okay.
So all of that stuff is covered. And then we have like the other one, we have Brick by Brick, which is specifically retail.
Okay.
That's also a 6 week one that takes people who want to start retail stores and gives them the insight, like, you know, the leasing opportunities and finding a place, going over the traffic. And then also, you know, how do you keep the supply chain going and then the inventory stuff. Then we have Webify, which is probably something that you're familiar with. The Webify program is it helps people start up e-commerce businesses.
Honestly, I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah,
maybe surprised, but yeah, that's cool.
So that one focused really heavily on e-commerce, obviously.
Yeah,
And it goes like from planning, how do you actually establish a business? What do you need to start an e-commerce business? And then we throw in some market research and market intelligence. So
very cool.
You get a good sense of the competitors in your area. And how to, you know, maybe you can find gaps in the competition to, you know, through like maybe keyword research or something like that.
Yeah.
Some striking distance keywords that could help you out a lot. Then you have, we kind of give a good look at the digital landscape. We talk about marketing strategies and tactics. We go over the different e-commerce platforms.
Like,
do you want to use Shopify or should you use Squarespace or should you use Wix or should you use WooCommerce?
What's the difference, huh?
Yeah. What's the difference? What's the ease of use? What are the costs for all of them?
Right.
And which one would be better for you depending on what you're trying to sell, what your message is. And as you know, that stuff actually changes things.
It changes a lot. Yeah. According to your long-term vision, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a great program as well.
And then we talk about simple stuff like how do you get a domain name?
Oh, nice, you know? Nice.
And do you need SSL and or Secure Sockets Layer?
Yeah. So all of these things, people can come to the Small Business Administration and get training on for free.
Yes, completely free. Hmm. Never a cost associated with any SBDC program or consulting.
So any startup who's ready to go, they're ready to start. All they got to do is find the program, plug into it, and get going, right?
Yep.
That's really awesome. And a lot of people don't know about these things. That's why we want to have you here on the podcast talking about these. It's really cool. So in your experience doing the consulting work, plus doing the training work here with SBA or SBDC, when you're coming across startups, you know, what are some of the common gaps that you see? You know, that the things that they need, you know, that they are most unaware of.
Okay. From a general business perspective, the first thing would probably be licensing. Mm. They don't know that they need a business license.
Yeah.
They don't know where to get one when they know that they need a business license. Mm. They'll think, okay, maybe I need to go to the county or something. It's actually a city function. Right. They don't know if they need sales permits. You know, they're selling online. They're like, well, you know, I don't have a retail store, so why would I need that? Right. It's like, actually, if you don't want to go to jail, you should probably get one of those. and, you know, those two right there are like really common.
Right. Yeah. And California requires that, you know.
Yes.
And with the licensing part, it could be a little bit tricky too, right? Because of the, mm-hmm. like, if you live in an unincorporated area, you have to go to the county, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So,
good point. Yeah. We do run into that occasionally when people live in unincorporated cities.
Yeah.
But sometimes, see, the thing about that is that some cities, when they're unincorporated, the counties don't do it. So you actually don't need a business license in some cities.
Yeah, that's true. Here in the Inland Empire, where would that be?
What's the city called? I just ran into this problem like a couple of weeks ago. It starts with an M. Oh, I can't remember.
Mentone? Is it Mentone?
No, it's not Mentone. Oh, okay. it's something out in the high desert.
Okay.
Still within our region, the OCIE region.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, but
it's a unique case.
Yeah, it's an unincorporated city that doesn't require business licensing. So like if you wanted to, I can't remember the city, but if you wanted to move to that city and not get a business license, you could do that. Like, and you'd be totally okay.
That's wild.
And then I run into a lot of marketing holes. So there's
marketing holes. Okay.
A lot of people that it's like pulling teeth trying to get them to do something as simple as a content calendar.
I think it's a struggle for business owners, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally understand. Yeah. Because, you know, the two most important things for a small business are the owner's time and the owner's money. And marketing takes up a good chunk of both of those.
And when people used to start a business, you know, we didn't always have like seven different platforms that you have to post content to, right?
Well, I mean, before the internet, it was just like open a store and
right, or send out some flyers,
do a catalog, you know? Or something like that. Or the mailers. But unfortunately, that doesn't work anymore.
It's not the same.
And even creating a retail space is not a guarantee that you're going to get customers. So
you better get on TikTok, right?
TikTok, you know,
YouTube. Really good.
So those are, you know, that's the beginning of it, where it's just they don't have the time or the resources to put into their marketing. Okay. And because those are the two alternatives, either you put the time in to do it yourself or you hire someone to do it for you.
Okay.
And both of those kind of go at odds against a small business or in entrepreneurship in particular. So my job, as I see it, is to find the little cracks where I can assist these small business owners in doing so, doing all this marketing stuff easily enough that they don't have to spend a bunch of time on it.
Yes.
And usually that comes in the form of just doing some ideation with them.
Okay.
If they're a good writer, for example, I can sit down and we can come up with a bunch of different blog topics. And I can just say, you know what? That's the hard part. coming up with titles and coming up with the things that you actually want to talk about, right, or that you actually want to write about, you've done the hard part now. All you have to do is put some words on the page. That's it. And then I'll try and give them strategies like, you know, get out of the house, go to a Starbucks or something like that, take an hour and write a bunch of stuff and then just post it. And then it's the same with like social media posting. Pick out a couple of images, create some ideas, and just get it all done right away so you don't have to think about it for the next month.
That's good.
Yeah, so, and then there's a bunch, I mean, and I really feel bad when I talk to them because it's like, we have to really, I feel like, what's the guy that always has the solution from an early TV show.
Which one?
He can like build anything with like gum and
MacGyver. Yes, I love that guy, man.
Yeah, and so I feel like every time I talk to someone, most of the time, when I talk to a small business owner, I feel like a marketing MacGyver.
I love it.
I have to create solutions out of nothing.
Marketing MacGyver.
Yeah,
I love it.
So that's a challenge, and, right? But at the end of the day, I'm doing this because I want to help them. And so I literally sit up at night thinking about how I can help some of these people, and I get really close to some of them. I feel happiness at their successes, and I feel sadness at their failures.
Absolutely.
And so I like to invest myself in this. I have so many clients that it's hard to get close to all of them, but you really just want them to succeed.
You do. Yeah, that's the reason we go into this business too.
Right.
So you've been with OCIE, since the transition. You were with SBA before at Tritech, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many years have you been a part of the SBA?
So if we're talking specifically about the SBA, it would be 11 years.
11 years, that's huge, dude. All right, so when did you start your marketing company, and how did your position at the SBA grow alongside with your marketing company?
So when I started with the SBDCs, which was SBDC.
Okay.
That was, I didn't have my own business at the time. It was, I started as a marketing coordinator.
Yes.
And that was basically me just running social media platforms and doing email marketing and generally just controlling the marketing channels.
Right.
And sort of deciding like where we were going to go with the marketing and all that kind of stuff. And that gave me an appreciation for the actual, that was my first real chance at taking a huge chunk of responsibility.
Okay.
And, you know, transforming it into success for Tritech. And that's when I started really feeling like, okay, I can do this. And
you were part of the big idea marketing, or the next big idea conference, right?
Yeah.
I remember you now.
Yeah,
I was there. I had a table there.
Yeah, I set the whole thing up. We did the app and everything.
It was really awesome. It was a great event. And shout out to Mark Mitchell.
Yeah.
That was
and Chris Earle.
And Christopher Earle, yes. Who is still a good friend and client. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's an amazing guy. So that was my first opportunity to feel like I could actually take some ownership.
Nice. And
so that's when I started my own thing.
Okay.
Once I stopped working for Tritech, and then I started working for the State Trade Expansion Program.
Okay.
Which is basically like export assistance.
Okay.
Getting like work in or selling in China, basically. Southeast Asia as in general, because they go wild after with California products. They love it.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, they do, and especially the food stuff. So like almonds and like beef jerky and seasonings, and it's all branded as California California.
Made in California.
Yes.
Well, so, I didn't realize the almonds were so big here in California until I started researching, like, the water. Because almonds have so much, they require so much water to grow.
Super bad for the environment. But, you know, we got to sell them to China, so what are you going to do?
I guess we'll make the money back, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, carbon offsets. There we go.
All right. So, and, okay, so you grew along, your business grew along with the, okay, so
that's
you,
when I started it, when I was with the State Trade Expansion
Program. The State Trade Expansion, okay.
And I was actually the marketing director there, okay. But it was just me and the director, so, you know, it sounds like really high and mighty, but I,
it was hey, just, why not? why not give yourself the highest title, right?
And, yeah, that was with the State Trade Expansion Program director, who is Jeff Williamson.
Okay.
Also an awesome dude. Like, very really cool great dude. Guy.
Should he be on this podcast, you think?
Yeah, you should. Okay. He's great. He's actually been in, he actually does a lot of, like, news interviews.
Okay, you're going to have to connect
like me. On CNN. So I'll give him your contact number or I'll connect you.
Okay.
Right. He actually works for my dad. So,
oh, that's really awesome.
His program is a part of the Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship.
Center for Entrepreneurship. Okay, awesome.
Thanks to me.
That's big, yeah.
I connected them and I was like, yeah, okay. I'll take credit for that.
Yeah, come on.
So that's when I started it. And for me, it was sort of like, okay, I know I want to do marketing consulting, mm-hmm. but I also am really good with websites and I understand that space. Mm-hmm. So how can I combine these to actually fulfill my goal of helping small business owners? Mm. And then when I actually started doing my research, I started noticing that developers are quite costly.
You're telling me.
and when I started, like, talking to people, they were saying, oh yeah, you know, I wanted to have a website built and it was going to cost me like $4,000. And I was like, okay, I could do that for, like, I don't know,
half the price, baby.
Like 25% of that.
Yeah, right. Nice.
So I was thinking, okay, so I think I found my niche. It's
real competitive. It is, because you know, you could be really expensive, or you could just, like, come in and say, hey, I want some new clients. I only charge this much.
Yeah, I mean, that is an issue, but I just sort of took what I did in consulting,
right,
and then put it into my business. So the focus on education is very high. I don't have a lot of clients, so I have a lot of time to talk to them.
Right.
And so I have a lot of recurring clients.
Okay.
Where I can get to know them really well and get to know their needs really well.
I like them better. I like recurring clients better.
Yeah, I mean,
instead of just the one time, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And for me, not only does that make me more money, I mean, mm-hmm. we got to be real. I'm a small business owner. I have to make money.
Yeah.
But it also helps them. You know, they get to know and understand what I can do for them. And
everyone needs, like, to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody.
Right. Yeah. They know that I'm always a phone call away if they mm-hmm. want to write something down, or they want to put up a blog post, or they want to make a new page, yes. or they want to do some advertising, or their website goes down at 2 a.m. They know that they can call me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
be like, hey, absolutely. Ryan, help me out. And I'll be like, yeah, sure. That's $115.
That's the best. Well, I would think it's like, the goal is to build a relationship, you know, it's not to get, like, a one-time project done, you know, and out the door, but it's like, over time, okay, I know your needs. How can I give you the best, you know, solution for your need?
Absolutely. And I think all of this goes back to the first thought I had when I wanted to start my own business, was that I wanted to help people. I'm not doing it to get rich. I'm not doing this to become a millionaire. I don't have an exit strategy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have, Mark Cuban doesn't have equity in my company. So this is me trying to help people in this area, plain and simple, while still being able to pay my bills.
It's what you call a lifestyle business, really.
Sure.
And well, that's one classification of a lifestyle business. So what are some of the growing pains that you've experienced as you've grown your business, Ryan?
probably, I would say that the growing pain there is actually marketing. So even though I'm really good at that, it took a little while to sort of compute how to find my way through the little cracks that were available outside of the big competitors.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then to also just find my, how to put my message out there.
Okay.
And actually, I found that word of mouth was the best way to do it.
Yes.
Which I would not, if it, you know, small business owners that are watching this, I would not suggest that that's your first starting point. but it just happened to be that, you know, a lot of small business owners, especially when they are really involved in their community,
yeah,
have a lot of connections with other small business owners who are, who want the sort of attention that I give,
okay,
rather than, you know, paying for an SEO package for $100 that never pans out, you know. They would rather have someone explain the process and educate them and work closely with them. And it just gives that that more human vibe, right? You're not just talking to a big corporation. So
that's true.
And the word of mouth was the way to do that for me.
That's true.
Because I started by dumping money into like ads and things like that, and that worked. I'm not going to say it didn't work, but I wasn't getting the sort of clients I wanted. Out of that, they were obviously bringing in money, and it was good. The conversion rate was very high, but they just didn't feel like they were going along on the journey with me. And that was important to me. That, you know, we step on this path together. And so when I feel like I have that connection with a client, it's a magical thing, you know. And it's the same thing with the SPDs. And those, it's sort of the same challenges where the SPDC's main marketing vehicle is word of mouth. We, you know, go to the chambers of commerce as consultants. A lot of our consultants get clients out of chambers or, you know, peer mentoring groups and stuff like that, where they simply say, I cover these things. My help is no cost. And you can come and talk to me. We can have a short conversation about what you need and what I can help you with. And that's hard to pass up as a business owner. And it can be invaluable because you're talking to people who are very much experts in their specific fields.
It is invaluable. That's a, I think that's a great thing. And a lot of times, as you mentioned before, business owners don't really know that you guys exist, you know, and they don't know where to find the help. Sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to find the help if you're not really connected in the business circles, you know. And, you know, before I began to do anything like in business, I thought, okay, where do I start? Maybe I should go to this network marketing group. You know, I learned some things from the network marketers. I was a network marketer for a long time. And then I'm like, okay, I want to start like my own business that, you know, I really, you know, think about. Are that I've created, you know, and then you like, where do I start? Okay, Chamber of Commerce, you know. I mean, like, it's the most obvious, you know, business directories, Chamber of Commerce. But I never went to the SBDC until a little bit later, and my first encounter with like business government help was more like from SCORE,
Because
I was like, okay. These guys have, you know, they've been CEOs or, you know, C executive people, and I want to find out what they think about what I'm doing, you know? And then later down the line, got connected with the SBDC. So there are so many tools that are available to people and available to startups that they need to connect in with through the SBDC. I'm glad to get this podcast out.
Let me give some stats.
Okay.
To talk about like exactly what the SBDC has done without any of this.
All right.
So our network, the Orange County Inland Empire Network, is the number one access to capital in the country.
Freaking awesome.
The whole country.
Wow.
There are SBDCs in all 50 states. California is understandably broken up into a lot of different networks because of our population. Yeah. I think in 2020, we did almost $400 million in capital raised. Created 70,000 jobs in the Orange County Inland Empire region. Created 250 businesses. Served 16,000 clients. Wow. Did like 55,000 consulting hours. So we have a pretty big impact, even without having the actual word out.
Yes.
And I mean, if you think about like just the Inland Empire region, what a $400 million injection of capital into the local economy could do, right?
Right, right, right.
And we just want to continue that.
Yeah.
So obviously we've got to get the small business owners into the doors.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ryan, tell us some short-term goals that you have currently with what you're doing with OCIE, but also about what you're doing, short-term goals in your business right now. Just like two short-term goals.
Okay, so I think we could probably just connect them. It would be
okay
to get more clients, mm-hmm. is an obvious short-term goal.
Yeah.
And to kind of and retain the clients that I have now. Easy.
That's great too. All right, what do you see yourself at, considering you are a lifestyle business, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years?
For long-term goals, specifically for my business, it would be to kind of grow my reach a little bit.
Okay.
Not too much, because I still want to have that same personal thing. And that would mean that I need to hire employees. So
scale up and become an agency?
Probably more like a boutique agency with a very small footprint, all online, but it would definitely need to be people that are local.
Okay.
I wouldn't go and get a virtual assistant from like Europe or something like that.
Okay.
They would need to know the region. And so that's my long-term, like, we'll say that's like the 5-year goal.
Okay.
Is to just kind of widen that footprint a little bit and have some employees that have some buy-in in the local community.
Okay.
And specifically underserved communities, which we're kind of surrounded by. So that's,
yeah, absolutely.
And with an eye, with a super long-term eye on just helping out the local economy and helping people with their own success.
Okay, so that's 3 years, right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of like a mixture. I didn't really follow.
I'm not giving you the easy out on this one.
Okay, well,
5 years.
Okay, well, five years. Let's see. Let me think about that then. If that all falls under 3 years, boy, you're a strict tax factor. So if I wanted to do 5 years, let's say that happened in 3 years. So in 5 years, then that would be to make sure that I can continue to pay my employees well and give them raises.
Yeah.
And that would mean obviously having more clientele and further expanding my reach.
Okay.
So whereas I might work only in the Inland Empire for right now, I might move over into Riverside or towards Corona and do some very very specific marketing in those regions.
Okay.
And having the capital to actually do that effectively.
Yeah.
And then for 10 years.
10 years.
10 years would be a long time. I would hope to have a few more employees that have the same sort of buy-in to for the local region and start some philanthropy. So local philanthropy in general. So whether that was, you know, donating to a local homeless shelter or to a food bank or something like that. Maybe I could do some free website design or development or free marketing for local businesses.
Right.
You know, that serve really underserved communities. And I think that would be my long-term goal, would be to have enough cash flow to be able to do that comfortably.
That's a great long-term goal.
Yeah.
Where can people find you at and more about you? How can they come to the SBDC, get, you know, some consulting, some free consulting, Give us all your locations, all your places.
Okay, so my company, since I have all this stuff up, the SBDC stuff, and I talked about the SBDC, I can't tell you what my company is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If you Google web development in the Inland Empire, you'll find me.
There you go.
So you know, we have pretty strict conflict of interest stuff. Makes, and really, I just want to, so we don't want to cross those lines. Nope. But it's as easy as a Google.
Yeah. But they'll find you through the SBDC anyway, right?
Me personally, my marketing consulting, yes.
Okay.
I'm also, my company is also in a lot of like local periodicals, and we have like various awards and stuff like that. So
awesome.
It's probably a good chance that you crossed over it at some point. Then for me, or for the, let's talk about the SBDC in general. So that would be OCIESmallbusiness.org.
Okay.
And that's our main website for the Orange County Inland Empire Network. It's as easy as just setting up an appointment. Somebody, you'll set up an appointment on Calendly. You'll talk to an intake person for about 15 minutes. They'll get a sense of what your business is and what sort of assistance you need. And then they will connect you with someone like me. Nice. If you need like marketing or website experience, right, or, you know, stuff, then you'll get someone like me or me.
Awesome.
There's a few of us in the network that sort of do the same thing. And it's that simple. There's also, the website is also a really good resource for things like local grants, and really, really low interest loans. So like EIDL, for example.
Yeah. I've gotten a grant through you guys. The COVID grant that you guys had coming up. That I was one of the guys who received one.
A lot of those are still going on.
So yes, they are.
We also have something. I would be remiss in not calling this out. We also have something called the Dream Fund right now, which
please tell us about that.
Okay, so that is a $5,000 grant for an e-commerce business. If you can show that you have a lease and it's not a sublease, then you can qualify for $10,000.
Wow.
All you have to do is obviously have a business.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have started after July 1st, 2019.
Okay.
And then you have to go through one of our programs and have perfect attendance. So we talked early on about the SBDC Start program. That's a perfect one for people who are trying to do the fund. It's a 6-week program. You go through it all. You make sure that you go to every single webinar. If you miss it, you disqualified.
Ooh.
So, and then you do at least one appointment of one-on-one consulting with someone like me.
Oh, okay.
And from there, you qualify. You'll get an invite to a webinar that explains the Dream Fund and how the process works and what paperwork you need. You submit some basic paperwork, like, you know, profit projections and things like that, a business plan.
Yeah.
And then you get $5,000 or $10,000 for free.
That's great.
And it's a huge, we still have a huge fund available for this. So
this is going to be going on for probably another, how long do you think the funds are going to last? Like, at what rate are, you know, people qualifying for these?
The last time we were given some statistics on this, we had about 2,000 people that qualified for it, and 220 something had actually gone through the entire process.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so the chances are good that you would qualify for it. Obviously we can't make any promises, but chances are good that if you go through it and you actually hustle up with the paperwork, because, you know, for example, if you were trying to get the Dream Fund and then you went through the SBDC Start program, that's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Then you were like, oh, I need a business license. That's another 6 weeks. And then, so, you know,
it's have some stuff ready.
Right, exactly.
So if you're starting and you need to find out more about this Dream Fund, we've written articles. We actually have about 2 or 3 articles on our website about the Dream Fund.
Yeah.
So they can click through the link there. So, but I'm glad you brought it up, and it's good to know there's still quite a bit left.
Oh yeah. We have quite a bit left. Yeah. Awesome. I was actually surprised. It was a huge chunk of money for the whole state of California.
I remember when it first came out, and you know who told me about it? Chris Earle told me about it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because he's like second in command or something. I don't know.
For GoBiz, yeah.
Yeah, for GoBiz, yeah. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. But we're gonna have him on the podcast as well. Ryan, that's pretty much it. Do you have anything else that you would like to share with our audience?
No. I mean, like, we covered a lot of ground.
We absolutely did. Anything, any specials coming up? Anything like with upcoming webinars that you think people should go to?
Unfortunately, my webinar series, my 9-part webinar series just wrapped up. That was all about websites.
Okay. Okay.
So that was actually, it's wrapping up tomorrow.
Wrapping up tomorrow.
A little too late. Okay.
All right.
But then we have a veterans start program that's coming up.
Okay.
Rev Up Your Revenue, which is something that's being done through the Coachella Valley Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Those are the ones that are coming up right now.
Well, thank you for coming on to the Founders Podcast, Ryan. I really appreciate you for contacting me and saying, hey, we need to talk about this. I thank you for coming on.
I'm glad to be here. This was fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's another Founders Podcast that is in the books. Make sure you contact Ryan through the OCIE Small Business website. Contact him in general. You can Google him. Like you say, you'll find his name. Google him. But also, make sure you subscribe to this channel. If you are not subscribed yet, if you haven't liked this podcast, go ahead and give us a like. Thanks again for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Hit the red button. Subscribe.
Subscribe.